What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of Couchside Sports.
Ooh.
We're out here. We got your co-host, Kyle French, live in studio.
Michael Burke calling from Queens, New York.
Queens, baby, all the time. And you know what it is? Out here giving our perspective on sports from the comforts of our couches. We've been out of the game for a couple weeks, but we're back. Thanksgiving, yeah. Kind of, you know, UConn decided they're going to shut down the student union on us. So we weren't able to get Mike Burke live in studio with us.
It's all right. I mean, eventually I'll get back in the studio. Maybe we'll call up Sheriff or one of our previous guests to get their perspectives. But
oh, yeah. That'd be excellent. Get our intern in here.
Yeah. Get our intern in here. For now, well, I'm strictly over the phone, though. You know, on business trips and stuff, so.
Absolutely. And so we got a couple things to get to. Today, we got to cover some chaos going down in two major sports cities. As always, we'll have breaking news that isn't news. We'll have our NFL picks and a couple other segments that I believe we debuted both of them last episode, so we'll get to those as well. So a lot of stuff to hit. You want to start in New York?
Yeah, sure. So we got some chaos going out here in New York City. Been talking to a lot of Giants fans at my job. And, you know, they're appalled, and I'm appalled as well. Eli Manning was benched by the Giants after 210 consecutive games started for the one and the only Geno Smith.
Geno, let's go.
So now the Giants are 2-9 after an 11-5 2016 season. A lot of people, including myself, said that they had a chance to win their division, especially if Zeke was out, like, this team could be something special, and it's a crapshoot. They're awful. Odell Beckham's gone. Brandon Marshall's gone. They're out for the year.
Even their number three receiver, Sterling Shepard, was gone for a decent amount of the season.
Yep.
It's been wild.
And then Ben McAdoo is just sitting over there taking a big old dump on the entire city of New York by saying, Eli Manning is getting benched. Ben McAdoo needs to be fired. That's what I say.
I'm there with you. I mean, I would think, or he coached 2 years. First year, he takes him to the playoffs when they weren't expected to get there. And then he has one bad year, I'll let him off the hook. But just the way this season has gone, the decisions he's made, even without your offensive weapons, 2-9, that's unacceptable. I think they just got to start clean. And it's really a shame that they're starting Geno Smith, of all people. Because it's not like they're bringing in some unknown rookie quarterback who knows, maybe he could be the franchise quarterback. No, you know Geno Smith is bad at playing quarterback. And no less in New York City. We've seen him play for the Jets for years. We know what he is. We know he's no chance better than Eli Manning. So I don't understand this move at all.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know why they wouldn't just let Eli Manning play like the first half just so he can have his consecutive game start streak continue.
Well,
and then be like, oh, it's not going too well. We'll bench you for the second half.
So I heard that was their original plan, and Eli went to them and was like, listen, if the only reason I'm starting is because you guys want to let me keep my start streak, then that's like not the right thing to do, and he just kind of pulled himself.
Man, Eli Manning is a class act. As much as the guy annoys the shit out of me because he's beaten my Patriots twice, Eli really is a class act. He's way more classy than his brother Peyton.
No, hard disagree.
Yes.
Hard disagree.
No, all Peyton cares about is himself and pizza and endorsement.
Yeah, and he's great at it. Have you seen those commercials?
You can eat an entire large pizza off of his forehead.
Same with Eli.
Yeah, I mean, that runs.
You could eat a W off his forehead. But I think the biggest thing going down in New York, too, is we knew this wasn't going to be an offensive roster. I mean, last year they thrived on defense, so we thought that was going to be their calling card. I thought they would have one of the best defenses in the whole league, and even that has gone to shit. I mean, in 2017, they're 31st in yards per game, whereas last year they were 10th. And then in 2017, they're 23rd in points allowed per game, and last year they were second. So yeah. It's not really all on Eli and the offense, although they've looked terrible. This defense, which didn't have a huge shakeup from the incredible group they had last year, just didn't perform at all.
Yeah, I mean, it's all on McAdoo. He spends more time slicking back his hair than he does preparing for the next week, so.
I agree. I don't know why he didn't just cut off the whole hair grease thing after the first couple weeks.
You know, like, switch it up, you know. He's like, thinks he's like a greaser from like Brooklyn or something from like 80 years ago. The dude needs to settle down. he should be demoted. Put him back to his old job. We'll be all right.
What was his old job? Was he the offensive coordinator?
I think he was defensive. I don't even know. Ben McAdoo is just,
I just assumed he was offense because he has that, you know, that huge play sheet he has?
Yeah. I mean, that's probably, I mean, he's probably defense because he doesn't care remember any of the offensive plays.
I guess so. Who knows, but I don't know what it's going to look like for the Giants moving forward. Some people think, you know, they should trade Eli and just start fresh. But I still feel like they have a good core group of guys, and I would say just fire the coach, give him another run next year when everyone gets healthy. But what are your thoughts?
You're actually right. He was the offensive coordinator, my fault.
Oh, okay.
But my thoughts are...
Facts.
My thoughts are tank hard.
Well, this year, sure, but like, what's the move going into next year?
Oh, you gotta get a quarterback.
So get rid of Eli.
Yeah, Eli's gone. I'm sorry, Eli. It's not even his fault. I just feel like sometimes when you have an organization that has come up short like that, like super, super short, and they're in a huge thing of turmoil, you know, that McAdoo's selling out his players. I think they need to hit the reset button. Get rid of McAdoo, get rid of Eli, and just build a new team.
Around Geno Smith.
Maybe he could be the backup. But
Mark Sanchez? Yeah, I think he might be available.
Mark Sanchez?
Tebow?
He did have that one year.
Tebow?
Tebow's locked into baseball, man. Tebow's locked in. He's locked in.
He's going nowhere. He's getting paid to sell peanuts, dude.
His jersey sales are probably the most in minor league baseball.
Yeah, good for him. They don't care about actually winning and putting up numbers there. All right, well, that's enough for New York. We've got some more chaos going on in NBA City.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, we're going to transition over to what we thought was a stable organization in the Memphis Grizzlies. They went ahead, and after a 9-game losing streak, it might have been 8 or 9 when they made the change, but they fired coach David Fizdale, who had only been there a year and 15 games, made the playoffs last year with a depleted, injury-riddled roster. And this came after he sat Marcus Gasol for the full fourth quarter of a close loss to the Brooklyn Nets. Apparently, Marcus Gasol and Fizdale have been at odds for a while now. And all of a sudden, the Grizzlies have now lost 11 in a row after they lost to the Cavs last night. They've had 3 coaches in 6 years, and they've all been fired after making the playoffs. It's chaos for an organization that's we thought was stable. So, What's going on?
I just want to question, like, who David Fizdale thinks he is.
Who David Fizdale thinks he is?
Yeah, you gotta look at this. You lost to Brooklyn, right?
Yeah.
And you benched Marcus Gasol for the entire fourth quarter. Your best player. Easily, hands down, Marcus Gasol is the best player on the grid.
Mike Conley's right there.
Mike Conley's right there, but currently pulled that could have played.
Sure, yeah, because Conley's hurt.
He is out, yeah. So Marcus Gasol should have been in that game. David Fizdale's letting his personal beef with Marcus Gasol dictate what he's doing coaching-wise. Yes, he was. And now he got his ass canned. Memphis is not afraid to fire coaches. They stick with their player. So as soon as you sack Gasol because of some petty beef, you're out.
Listen, when you've lost 7 games in a row and you start 7-4 and you're just on a skid and no one on your team is playing well, you do whatever you can to just try to get a spark. Clearly, the last 7 games, Marc Gasol wasn't winning them games, so he said, you know what, I'll just ride with the second unit. Maybe they can get us back in the game. You just try anything at that point to try to get a win. That's all he was doing.
I mean, I beg to disagree just because I heard a story about how last year they got into a fight in the locker room. And now, like, Fizdale and, like, DeSoto's relationship is, like, really rocky, and they don't really fuck with each other.
Yeah, I've heard the same, but...
Well, like, I mean, especially if you're playing a team like Brooklyn, Marc Gasol's going to eat against Brooklyn. Who is stopping Marc Gasol in Brooklyn? Are you going to tell me Timofey Mozgov? Like, there's no way. That could have been an easy win if they had put their best player in the damn game.
Listen, this was... The ownership just wanted to make a change, and they're using this as an excuse. They were probably so happy when they saw that he sat Marc Gasol there. Oh, now we can fire him. Now we have a reason. We've wanted to get rid of him for a while. And the ownership is a mess, too, because...
Oh, yeah.
you know, Robert Parra, the owner, I guess when he bought the team in 2012, there were certain clauses in the contract with him and the other owner-like partners. And they triggered this, like, buy-sell clause, like, the day after they fired David Fizdale. So their coach just left, and now it looks like their owner is going to be forced to sell the team due to, like, other owners, like, forcing his hand and saying either buy us out or sell the team. So it's just, it's a mess top to bottom. I don't think the ownership had its head in the right place. I don't think this was a time for them to make a change. I think they're just looking for an excuse. I mean, it's a young owner, and... I just think he's too quick to run coaches out of the building.
I mean, I can't disagree with that because they have a lot of, it's like a revolving door of coaches there. But at the end of the day, you know, this coach benching Marc Gasol for the entire fourth quarter. It's not even like the last 5 minutes, like the entire fourth quarter he did not play. I don't know. And I don't like, I get like you need to have a spark, but I don't get how having your best player sit on the bench while your other best player is hurt and just running a bunch of scrubs out there really gives provides you with a spark. Because then you got, like, Tyreek Evans and Jamichael Green on the floor. And are they really providing you with an exciting spark?
As a Celtics fan that you are, who provides the most spark for the Celtics? Their bench unit keeps them in games, gets them back in games at times.
Marcus Smart
comes off the bench, and he's the mentality of the team. The guy scores like 3 points every game and has like a plus 27 in the box score.
So he's a great on-ball defender.
I don't know, man. It's not like Marc Gasol was going to carry them to every game. I think this was just a soft excuse to get rid of a coach that they didn't like. I mean, the guy put up a great fight against the Spurs last year in the playoffs. I mean, just ride it out. Wait for your best player, Mike Conley, to at least come back and figure out what the future looks like. I mean, they could still have turned around and made the playoffs this year. Now it looks like they're in turmoil.
Yeah, I think they did pull the trigger, like, too quickly. I just think that David Fizdale should not have sat Marc Gasol. I feel like, if they fired him so quickly, maybe, you know, there's something that we don't know. Maybe they talked to him about it, said something before, like, you know, squash your beef with Mark or else. You're on the hot seat, and he was like, well, fuck you guys, I'm benching him.
Yeah, well, if that was the case, then, you know, I get it. And if they really had to choose either Marc Gasol or David Fizdale, then obviously they made the right choice. You keep Marc Gasol. It's just hard for me to believe that it really boiled down to that point where it's like, it's either me or him, make a choice. I don't think they were confronted with that, not yet, so.
Yeah.
Maybe they can still make the playoffs this year. We'll see what happens when Conley gets back, but.
It's a long season, you know, that, like, the top of the West is really, you know, they're not going to get there, but that 6-7-8, that's really bunched up, so you never know what could happen. They play some close games with some, like, another contender that's for that 8 seed, and they could make it.
Yeah, they could. It's just a shame to see an organization that's made the playoffs for the past, like, 8 years getting comparisons to the Kings management. It just looks bad. So, all right, well, we'll move on then. So that's enough chaos in New York and Memphis. We'll get some breaking news that isn't news.
Okay, I like it. Yeah.
You want to start it off for us?
All right, sure. So I want everyone to sit down and be quiet and listen to this. I've been through a lot as a Patriots fan.
Yeah, it's really a tough life.
Most of it is winning. Yes, most of it is winning. But... Once they lose one game, or losing 28-3 in the third quarter of a Super Bowl. All I hear is chirps, 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 chirps.
Like birds.
After week one, when the Chiefs beat the Patriots, everybody on earth who hates the Patriots was like, oh, let's go. Chiefs beat the Pats. Pats aren't what they used to be. They're not going to be good this year. Look at what just happened. La da 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 da. Okay, well, newsflash. The Patriots have won 7 in a row, are 9-2, and the Chiefs have lost 3 in a row, and are 6-5, and are in danger of missing the playoffs. So you want to tell me who's done and who's not having a good year? I'm a Patriots fan. I'm going to sit back. I'm going to listen to what they have to say. I'm going to just count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Oh,
ooh. And you know, in February, I'm going to go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Because I don't see anybody coming in the Patriots way. Breaking news, it isn't news. Patriots are still great. Stop the hate. We're about to win. Let's celebrate.
Wow, I love it. That's some breaking news if I've ever heard it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, obviously, Patriots, GOAT squad, good chance to win another ring. And this actually isn't even the first time that people have overreacted to them losing to the Chiefs.
Oh, yeah.
You remember, I think it was 2014, they got trounced and they were like 2-1 or something on the season, 2-2.
Yeah,
pretty much same situation. Yeah, well, and then they went on and won the Super Bowl that year, so.
Yep.
I think, is it a virtual lock that they won the Super Bowl since they lost to the Chiefs and people said they were done?
Yes, virtual lock.
Virtual lock.
I don't see who's getting in their way. I think the last two teams in the NFC could be like the Saints or the Eagles. Honestly, if I'm going to say I'm more scared of the team, I'd be more scared of the Saints just because of what their running game can do.
Wow.
Especially the fact that both of them can, like, catch passes out the backfield and stuff. If you're facing the Eagles, it's more of, like, LeGarrette Blount, and you know what LeGarrette Blount is doing. So
he's playing for the Patriots.
Andrew Brees is a veteran quarterback. So if I could pick the team, I want them to play the Eagles because I think that's an easy dub. I mean, the last time they played the Eagles, it was a dub. So that's what I'm going to say.
All right, true. Love the historical references. All right, so breaking news, Patriots are still good. And I actually have a very similar breaking news.
Okay.
But we're going to jump over to the NBA.
Ooh.
And the Cavs, Cleveland Cavaliers, yes, the team that everyone said was too old, they were done. They said 10 games into the year, oh, blow it up, LeBron's gone, he's going to L.A., they suck. You guys were all wrong. The Cavs are now on an 11-game win streak. The defense has come around. The three-point shooting has come around. Derrick Rose has not, but that's a different story. Also, breaking news is news. Derrick Rose hurt, not playing. But back to the Cavs. Everybody jumped on them early. Knee-jerk reactions to a slow start. They pretty much said, it's over for LeBron. He's not making the finals this year. And I said, hey, listen. He always starts bad. They always start poorly because they're not motivated. And they turn it around and they win the conference. And everyone's like, no, this is different. And people ask me, no joke, they're like, give me reasons why you think they'll turn it around. I'm like, LeBron James is on the team.
That's the only reason.
What are you talking about? And they're like, that's not a good enough reason. I was like, wait 2 months, then talk to me. And now we're there. Yeah, so breaking news, it isn't news. The Cavaliers are one of probably the top four teams, maybe top five in the league.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
no question.
People that were like, oh, wow, Cavs. Like, oh, they're like 8-7. This is crazy. I'm like,
yeah.
Same thing with you. I'm like, dude, like, chill out. Because, first of all, they don't even have all their pieces back. Once IT comes back, that team's going to be wild.
Yeah.
And also, you have LeBron James. And LeBron James took a sorry, sorry supporting cast to the finals when he was with Cleveland when he was a young kid.
Yeah.
So you're going to tell me that he can't do it now? Like, come on.
It's blasphemous.
And they have a better supporting cast. I mean, people that say, I don't know, people that doubt LeBron James are just idiots. Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry, I had to say it.
No, I completely agree. And anytime I'm arguing about the Cavs at all in the future, I'm not even going to use any stats, no facts, no historical anything. I'm just going to say they have LeBron James. That's all I have
to say.
That's
all you need to say.
That's all I need to say. So everyone, just haters, man.
Haters, dude. Hey, people people hate success, especially people who are fans of teams that don't win. Like Knicks fans.
Jets fans.
Jets fans, Giants fans. What do you guys won recently, huh?
Well, the Giants kind of took a couple from us.
Yeah, but I mean, I feel it was more like Tom Brady was like, wow, Eli, you're a class act. You deserve some rings. I'm going to get plenty in my career.
Yeah, well, hey, stay woke. maybe Tom Brady, who knows that he's fighting with Peyton Manning for greatest quarterback of all time, let Eli take two. All of a sudden, Peyton doesn't even have as many rings as his brother. How can you compare him to Tom Brady?
Boom.
Simple as that.
I think you just blew this wide open, man.
Simple as that. All right, so that'll wrap up a woke breaking news that isn't news.
Very woke.
Where the Couchside cast dismisses some haters. So now we'll move on to a segment I believe we debuted last week, a little What I Learned.
Okay.
You know, we'll just go through, we'll just name something that from sitting on our couch we came to a sudden realization on, and now we know going forward as a fact. What do you got? What did you learn this week?
All right, so sitting on my couch, I go through some. I have some favorite websites that I go to. I go to Bleacher Report a lot. I like MLB Rumors, Hoops Rumors.
Ooh, rumor.
Go through MLB Rumors, and I see, oh, Yankees hired Aaron Boone to be the manager, and I was like, what? I was like, did I read this right? I was like, I slept in my contacts last night. I rubbed my eyes. I'm like, let me see. The Yankees really hired Aaron Boone to be their manager. Former player was in the broadcast booth, no coaching experience whatsoever. Oof. They're bringing in a brand new guy with no experience to come in and coach this young team with a bunch of guys that are growing into be superstars. I don't know. I think this could end badly for them. I don't know why they decided to go with Aaron Boone. I feel like someone like Carlos Beltran would have been like a better fit. I don't know if Beltran wanted a job, but I feel like that he would. You know, who's going to turn down to be the manager of the Yankees, especially a team that is on the up and coming and you could win a World Series with?
Does Beltran have coaching experience?
He does not, but he is like he's fresh out the game. He's like one of those guys. You know, he's bilingual. He'd be able to talk to like Gary Sanchez and stuff in the clubhouse a lot better. And I just feel like Aaron Boone, like.
So just because he speaks Spanish?
Because Carlos Beltran was an all-star, and Aaron Boone was a guy who, like, rolled the bench and hit, like, he did start for a little while, but, like, at the end of his career, especially with the Yankees, when he hit that home run in Game 7 in 2003, like, he was a bench player.
Okay, gotcha.
I just, like, don't, I, it was so weird. It's so out of the blue. I think there were some better options. So I don't know what the Yankees are doing with Aaron Boone. I guess maybe we'll see what they do. I guess Brian Cashman knows what he's doing. But from what I learned is that they just don't care who's leading their team because I guess they're that confident. And
well, you know, when you waste your payroll on the best players in the game and be blowing that salary cap up, even though there isn't one, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You just don't have the money to spend on a great coach. You don't need a coach.
Pretty much. When you got Aaron Judge hitting 60 bombs, I guess you don't really need a coach to go in there and tell him, swing away.
Yeah, right, yeah. Maybe coach him, maybe sell him, go to the dentist, or...
Yeah.
More of a life coach than a baseball coach.
Yeah, and then like, if you watch like games and stuff where Aaron Boone is broadcasting and stuff, he just seems a little awkward. It's I don't know. It's very confusing to me. I'm very confused by the Yankees. I was very happy with Alex Cora going to the Red Sox. I thought that was the best possible hire that they had. I think Alex Cora is going to do great in Boston. It's just I don't know what to think of Aaron Boone as a Yankees manager just yet.
All right. Well, maybe keep us updated as we get closer to spring training and the season returning, and maybe we'll learn more.
All right. I like that.
All right. So what I've learned this week. And we haven't talked much golf on here.
No, we haven't.
If at all. But Tiger Woods is a confirmed savage, and he's back.
It's confirmed savage.
Confirmed savage. We already knew he was a savage, but now it's 100% stone cold confirmed. So this man, so for those who don't know, and maybe even my co-host, He has his own tournament, basically, the Hero World Challenge.
Okay.
And it's only, like, the best players in the world that are allowed to play in it. And Tiger, of course, being out of the game for quite a while now and not playing well and having injuries and all the problems he's had, he's dropped so far down the world rankings, he would have no chance to even sniff a qualification for this event. But Tiger Woods runs the tournament, so he granted himself a sponsor exemption because he's basically the sponsor of the tournament.
So he sponsored himself.
Yes, a savage move. It's like a 40-man field, like the best players in the world, and he's ranked like, I don't even know if he's top 500 anymore. He's really fallen that far. And like he's like, yeah, I'll grant myself permission to play. Oof. But then not only that, he comes out and he shoots a 69 on Thursday, 68 on Friday, and he was one off the lead going into the weekend, which is crazy for a guy we haven't seen play well in pretty much years. Like since like 2013, I think was the last time he was actually competitive. Of course, yesterday he shot 75 and he kind of fell back in the field. But still, just to see him out there and back playing competitively was incredible. And also just to add to his savageness, just by competing in the event, since it's such elite players, he's going to move up a minimum of 250 spots, even if he gets last place on the world golf rankings.
Wow, he is a savage. Yeah. Wow. Every time you keep saying Tiger Woods is back, all I can think about is like how many back surgeries he's had and stuff.
Yeah, but he's actually back now.
That's crazy. I mean, shout out to Tiger Woods. He just—I guess he just doesn't give a fuck anymore.
No, he probably hasn't really given one in the past either.
I mean, when you're out there and have like a 40-man roster of women that you're sleeping with. While you're married, I guess you really don't give any.
Yeah, kind of a shameful move on Tiger's part, but yeah, you can see where his priorities are at.
I mean, you do what you gotta do.
Do what you gotta do. What are you referring to?
If you're Tiger Woods, you know, has Tiger Woods ever shot in the hole one in his career before?
Oh, yeah.
I was gonna say, because he's probably shooting a lot off the course.
Oh, God. All right, we got to relax.
We might have to cut that.
All right.
Yeah, Tiger's a savage.
So Tiger's a savage. That's what I learned this week. And hopefully all other golf fans and sport fans. Make Sundays great again. He's back. All right, so we're now going to do a new segment, Stat of the Week. This is for all the nerds out there. You know, if you're a numbers guy.
Analytics guys.
Analytics, sabermetrics, mathematics. This is for you. Okay. If you're not into that type of stuff, you can just cut the podcast off right here. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Or just like scrub forward, because we still got some stuff coming out.
Yeah, there you go. You can do that too. Either one. But maybe if you're, you know, a nerdy numbers guy, you can tune in now. So this one, I got a stat of the week. I got a couple, actually. I'll double down. A couple Houston Rockets stats that I think are pretty cool. So James Harden leads the NBA in assists per game, right? At 9.8 assists per game.
Yep.
And this is a bit of a ghost stat of the week. Currently owns that record. But there's actually a man on his own team, Chris Paul, who once he has played enough games to qualify for the stat leaders in the NBA, will actually jump over James Harden because he's averaging 10.3 assists per game. Just hasn't played enough games to qualify yet. And we'll actually have two players on the same team, 1-2 in the NBA in assists per game.
Wow.
I don't know if that's ever happened before that I know of. I tried to look it up. They don't really offer stats like that. Maybe we need to get our intern on that.
Oh, yeah, definitely. We'll hit him up.
Crunch the numbers.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, another James Harden-related stat that I saw that was really cool was that in the month of November, he either scored or assisted on 59.2 points per game. So all the points he scored plus all the points his team put up off of his assists added together, 59.2 per game over the course of an entire month. And
that's crazy.
And that number is actually more cumulative points per game than any month of Michael Jordan's entire career.
Wow. James Harden's cooking.
Yeah.
Cooking.
Cooking with the sauce.
Oh, wow. Oh, look at this. All right, so hold on. I was looking at 2017, 2018 leaders as you were speaking.
Yep.
And I came across three-point field goal percentage.
Ooh.
And can you guess who is leading the league in three-point percentage right now?
I would guess maybe Kyle Korver.
Wrong. Let me see. He's not even on. He's number 19.
Number 19?
Yeah. We'll give you
Eric
one more.
Gordon?
We'll give you another. Eric Gordon. Don't even see him on the list.
Oh, I'm striking out. Who is it? Give me a name.
I'm going to clear my throat for this one. Jason Tatum of the Boston Celtics, baby. Yes,
no way.
He is. He's shooting 49.3%.
On how many attempts?
That I'm not sure. Let's see. I just know that he is listed number one on the three-point field goal percentage list. Then it's Darius Miller and then Chandler Parsons.
No way.
Yeah. So maybe it doesn't. Maybe there's no like minimum amount of attempts you have to take. But
yeah, I would need those numbers. I don't see Tatum shoot many threes.
I mean, he's taking three a game now.
Three a game is a decent number.
He's taking three a game, and he's hitting one and a half.
All right. Hey, good for him.
Boston.
Young man doing his thing.
Boston City champions, people.
He's still not getting that rookie of the year, though.
No, that's totally Ben Simmons.
He's got that on lock.
Like I predicted, thank you. Appreciate the claps. All right.
Yep. Oh, yeah. You did predict that. Good job. And also another stat of the week off top since we mentioned Ben Simmons. I believe he set the record for most free throw attempts in a quarter. The other day.
He did. Yep.
He had 24.
Yep.
24 free throw attempts in one quarter against the Wizards.
He made 12 of them.
Yeah, that's not, it was good enough to win, but that's not great.
Yeah.
You'd like to see that number probably at least sitting at like 18.
I think it was true, but it said like he missed like the first 10.
No way.
Yeah, so that's why Washington just kept doing it, and they kept getting closer and closer and closer, so they might as well keep going. He only shoots 50% from the line.
I think the Wizards use that tactic wrong, though. When you do the, like, hack-a whoever,
yeah.
I feel like you should do that when you're winning. And then, if you're playing against, like, an explosive offense, you keep them from getting into runs. They can't hit three-pointers. Obviously, you're giving them kind of free points, but it keeps them out of a rhythm. I feel like that's the tactic to use more when you're winning than when you're losing to try to get back in a game. But
yeah, but there's a gray area there because, I mean, even if you're like fouling the worst free throw shooter in the league, you're still giving free points when you could be getting stops.
Yeah, but that's always the case, no matter when you're winning or losing.
Yeah, it is true, but, you know, when you're losing, I think you're a little bit more inclined to take a risk.
Yeah, but then, I don't know, when you're losing, you can't get out in fast break either if you're doing that.
True.
So.
This is why we need to be given the control of the Memphis Grizzlies, and we'll run some stuff.
I would be happy to do that.
Yeah. Well, what's the owner's name again? Let's hit,
yeah, Robert Parra.
Yeah, he's probably listening, Robert.
Yeah. How you doing?
DM us on Twitter, Couchside Sports with a Z.
True, with a Z.
Let us know when to come by for an interview.
He is looking to sell the team, though. We'd have to rake up the capital, but...
I mean, we're not selling the team. We're just being the...
Oh, we're just kind of like...
Co-coaches. Co-coaches, yeah.
All right, we're like informants.
I mean, no, we're not like informants. We're actually working for the team. We're setting the lineups. We're running practices. We're going to be getting exclusive interviews with every Memphis Grizzly. Couchside Sports.
Except for David Fizdale.
Except for David Fizdale. Maybe we could bring him on. You know,
yeah,
we've got a lot of, WHUS has hooked us up with a lot of connections. We've got a lot of power.
Yeah, I'm sure he's got a lot of grievances to air out. Maybe, David, if you're listening, come on.
Yeah, David, definitely.
Come through.
DM us too.
All right, we'll keep you guys updated on that. We'll DM David Fiz after the episode today. So that wraps up, we kind of got out of control there, but stat of the week, threw a bunch of stats out there. Big numbers, guys.
Oh, yeah.
So move on, we'll get to our final segment of the day. As always, we'll finish off with our NFL picks. Of course, we haven't been able to throw some bold claims out the last, well, I think we just missed one Sunday there around Thanksgiving time.
Yeah.
So we're back. And you want to lay down an upset of the week for us?
Sure. So I'm going to piggyback off of my breaking news. It is news. And the Kansas City Chiefs are going down.
Ooh.
The Jets are taking them out. It's going to put a damper on their season. They're going to lose. The Chargers are going to win. Chargers are making the playoffs, like I said.
Chiefs, I'm on that
going
train.
Down to the Jets. Josh McCown to Robbie Anderson all day.
All
baby.
Day.
And if Austin Seferian Jenkins can go 1 week without getting a touchdown taken away from him, they've got it.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. If I owned Austin Seferian Jenkins in fantasy, I would be livid every week.
Oh, I mean, I was playing the guy who had him last week, and I saw him like drop one touchdown. I was like, thank God. And then I'm on the train going to work, and I see him catch a touchdown. I'm like, damn it. Next stop, I get the service back. Because, you know, when you're in between stops, you're in the tunnel, you only have service. I get it back, and it says, plays under review, taken away. I was like, let's go.
It's really a shame, but... okay, I like that one. The Chiefs, it looks like a small line. Like, people would think Kansas City should be favored by a lot more. But they're on a skid, and the Jets are low-key not a bad team, so...
Yeah.
I like that pick. I'm going to roll with a little bit of a lower profile matchup.
Okay.
I'm taking the 49ers to beat the Bears.
Yep.
The Bears, you can't give the Bears points. Come on now. Like, they're just not a good team. And also, my boy Jimmy Garoppolo finally
there
getting the start in San Francisco.
There it
I'm
is.
all on the train with Jimmy G. And also, another quick stat for you guys. Jimmy Garoppolo never has lost a game in the NFL.
Stud. Absolute stud.
So how do you pick against that, right? How do you disrespect an undefeated quarterback?
You can't. It's honestly like God took a rib from Tom Brady and made it Garoppolo.
Exactly, yeah. There's that tent, you know, on the sideline, the new one they have?
Yeah, the blue one.
Yeah, that's what they use that for.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo is like Brady Jr. and San Fran, great trade. Make sure you lock them up. They got their quarterback in the future there.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm taking 49ers over Bears this weekend in a battle of teams that have like a combined 3 wins.
I like it.
So then we move on to our night games that we always pick. Sunday
yep.
night, big matchup. Philadelphia Eagles, Seattle Seahawks in Seattle. Tough to pick against the Eagles, isn't it?
Yeah, super tough. Seahawks Legion of Boom is dead.
Yeah.
R.I.P. Their 12th man is still there, but, you know, if the Legion of Boom's not there, like, the 12th man is like what?
Rest in Boom.
Yeah, rest in Boom. But, yeah, I'm totally rolling Eagles because their offense is crazy. They just locked up Alshon Jeffrey like 4 more years. They're ready to roll. They've got their sights set on the Super Bowl. They could make it. They'd have to probably go through the Saints, like I said before, but fly, Eagles, fly. They're flying higher than the Seahawks, baby.
Yeah, another battle of the birds. I feel like we always have we had the Falcons-Seahawks last time we did this, but I got to stick with the Eagles, too. Like you mentioned, Richard Sherman out, Cam Chancellor out. You know, their number 3 cornerback, he was questionable for today. Earl Thomas, probably their best defensive player, he was questionable. They're both giving it a go, but obviously beat up. And the Eagles, I do think, are going to get complacent and drop one soon. But night game, they're going to get up for it against the team they could potentially see in the playoffs. I think they'll get up for this game, and this won't be their letdown.
Mm-hmm.
So then we got Monday night.
All right.
Monday night football. Pittsburgh Steelers travel to Cincinnati to take on the Bengals. I'm going Steelers on this one. I know I'm picking the two favorites for the night games, which I kind of hate doing. But the Bengals are the biggest frauds in the NFL.
They really are.
They're like in the hunt. Whenever they show the playoff picture and I see in the hunt Cincinnati Bengals on my TV screen, I just want to throw my shoe at the TV. Because their best win is they beat the Bills by like 2, and they beat the Broncos by like 3. Besides that, they have like 2 wins over the Browns, a 1-point victory over the Colts. They're a horrible team.
Yeah.
And so they're just the biggest frauds, and I got to pick the Steelers to just trounce them.
Yeah, I'm going to have to ride with you. I thought about maybe making a bold claim and saying that, you know, if Antonio Brown doesn't play, then the Bengals got it, but I don't believe that.
Nah, feed Le'Veon.
They got Le'Veon, they got Martavis, Juju Smith-Schuster's the baller, so.
Yep.
The Bengals are trash. I don't know. Andy Dalton, I don't know what you're doing. A.J. Green. Joe Mixon had a good game last week, but, you know, we'll see what happens. I just can't bet against the Steelers. The Steelers are looking like the biggest competition for my path. Probably going to be the AFC Championship. They play each other next week.
2 weeks,
right?
There'll
be a little preview.
Or is it next week?
I thought it was next week. I think they're playing, what's your name? What are they playing this week?
The Patriots are playing the Bills.
Yeah, Bills. So it's Bills, then...
is it then Steelers? No, it's not.
Oh, no, it's Miami.
It's a couple weeks, but, yeah.
Yeah, it's a couple weeks. Never mind, my fault.
Some bad podcasting there, but...
Yeah, I will.
I think it's December 17th.
Yeah. I mean, our listeners are here for the content. They not really, don't care how it gets portrayed to them.
Exactly, yeah. And we're just your regular couchmen, so...
Exactly.
You can't really trust us. Well, you can. You can, but...
You can trust us. Come
yeah.
on.
You can trust us. We just don't have the inside information and sources.
Yeah, we were never media trained. We're not ESPN, stuff like that, so...
Yeah, we stay loyal to the WHUS family over here.
Exactly.
Real radio. All right, so upset of the week, you're taking the Jets over the Chiefs. I'm going 49ers over Bears, and we both have Eagles Sunday night, Steelers Monday night, and that's pretty much a wrap.
Yeah.
All right, so that was another episode of Couchside Sports. Good to be back after a couple weeks off.
Oh, yeah. Nice. Always getting that first one in after a little break. And always, you know, we're going to be sore tomorrow, but, you know, we're back in it. We're back on the train, baby. Let's go.
Oh, yeah. Let's do it. And you know what it is? At Couchside Sports, we give you our perspectives on sports from the comforts of our couches, the way it should be.
Oh, yeah.
And so, your co-host, Kyle French, signing off from the UConn Student Union Studios.
Michael Berg signing off from Queens, baby.
And we will catch you guys next time.
All right.
Peace.